All right. Welcome, onliners. Sunday school got started a little bit late with technical issues, but I think we're running good now. You can see Greg and Linda. Didn't get to say hi before. Carla behind you. Let's see Charles. I said hi to him downstairs. Sean in the back. Good to see you. Taking a few minutes for everybody to make their way up. We're going to be in Luke 17. Remember Lot's wife. Good Mother's Day message. Yeah. Yes, that's not thunder. We're going to have a beautiful day in the neighborhood today. If you take your praise book, it's the notebook, the red notebook, page 2, Precious Memories. And Jenny's going to help Jenny sing it.
Precious
We're going to sing another old song. Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Page 55 in your grace book. All five verses.
I still have my mama with me, and my dad, who's pushing 80,
as his mama's still here with him. And we'll be going down to celebrate her 97th birthday next week.
Not next week.
28th, whenever that is.
Yes. Yeah, 7 years ago today. We're at the other building. That was when my mom had an aneurysm.
Yeah. That was 7 years ago today.
And she died a few days later.
All right, let's sing number 26, Seek Ye First in His Time. It's a medley of two little choruses we sing together.
What? In the 26 in the praise book.
Oh, yeah, it's praise. Sorry, praise book.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Zoomed in as well.
You got our third person. Whoa, sorry, too close.
You got it plugged in? Well, that means it's not plugged in. You shouldn't be able to hear yourself. The green cord into the green hole. Can you hear this one?
Yeah, it's over here. Hey, she was wrong.
Silence your cell phone, please. Happy Mother's Day. There's a few of you around here that are mothers. And if you are a mother, then that assumes you have kids and at least one. And we just hope that today's the day you'll at least get to talk to them. My mom has a long-distance relationship with her three children right now. I was going to try to make it down there Saturday to see her. I won't go into all that came up, but I talked to her on the phone and try to get down to see her maybe Monday if things go well, but we'll see. But we just want to show you this little clip, a little reminder of how important our mothers are and ought to be to us.
Thanks, have a good night.
Before, but we don't need new singing lessons like that or gymnastics. Funny dance lessons, yeah. Just expensive, you know what? I call you
the one. No. Hey, please.
Sorry, we closed already. Come back tomorrow.
No, but tomorrow's Mother's Day.
Hey.
I have cash.
Let's make it snappy, boys. I got some hungry kitties to get home to.
Okay. I don't know why you want to buy your wife something that's just going to be dead in 3 days. It's a thank you for all the slack she picks up with our family. I mean, you and I both know I'm a mediocre dad and husband at best. Hey, listen up here, mi amigo. Buying your wife a bowl of petunias is not going to assuage your sins for being an extremely subpar father and husband. I didn't say extremely subpar. You didn't have to. You know, Mother's Day gifts, they just seem so desperate. I mean, take me for example. I gave my wife, Victoria, the best gift that she will ever have.
And not really.
My offspring. What woman would want that?
Here we go.
Just let that sink in. The truth will set you free. All right, okay. All the phones. Is there like eucalyptus in here? Is that eucalyptus or is that a cat? Now, how much is this?
$175, I think.
$175 I'm dead by Wednesday. Hey, la macaroon. Don't mind if I do. Okay, that's gonna leave a mark. Hey, hold your gifts. Let me grab a couple of things. This one for the missus. Attention, everybody. That's not a eucalyptus. That is a bona fide cat. I'm okay.
You know what? I'll go ahead and take this before he destroys the place. Is this your shop?
No, it's my mom's place. She opened it when we were kids.
So I guess you didn't get her flowers for Mother's Day.
Actually, every Mother's Day, she would let each of us kids go through the shop and pick out something to give her. We don't pick out the biggest, most expensive things we could find.
So I guess she bought her own gifts?
Oh, she paid for her flowers and much more. She paid with long days and short nights, replacing her worries with prayer. She gave up what she needed so that we could have what we wanted. She gave up more than all of us really know. But she didn't look at it that way. She would say, "You all are my true little flowers, and it's my job to make sure that you are watered with love and placed in the light of the sun." I mean, that's what moms do, right? They help us grow in God's love so that we can be a witness to God in the world. So, I thank God for her daily, and nowadays I spend cash in the register and I pay for her flowers on Mother's Day. Receipt?
Can you put the in the town, please?
Door.
Okay.
I'm holding it with my foot. I am towing the door.
I got it. Happy Mother's Day.
Now, if you didn't buy your mom flowers, don't feel guilty. But
my mom's allergic.
Yeah, my mom's allergic to flowers too. But you can buy plastic ones, and they appreciate that. Important thing is you actually appreciate your mother not just today, but every day. And so that's, I think, the important message. So the idea of Mother's Day was started with, well, you can go online and read the history of it. But if you don't have your mom with you and she's in heaven, then you can thank the Lord. You're going to see her again someday.
Amen.
And the Lord is good. And just for you mothers, we're going to have a study in Luke 17 on Lot's wife. we'll come back to that.
A mother you do not want to be like.
So hold your questions, comments to the end of our current events update. Number one, non-liberal states continue to ward off the insanity of the woke wickedness. Oklahoma governor signs a ban on non-binary birth certificates. You mothers who gave birth, I'm sure you took one look and knew whether it was a boy or girl. Oklahoma governor Kevin Stitt signed a bill Tuesday explicitly prohibiting the use of non-binary gender markers on state birth certificates. The message is that if you want to be insane and go along with this woke stuff, you're free to do so. You have no right to demand that we go insane with you.
Right.
That's the message.
Amen.
The bill followed a flap last year over the Oklahoma State Department of Health's agreement in a civil case allowing a non-binary option. The birth certificate in that case was issued to an Oklahoma-born Oregon resident who sued after the agent initially refused the request. People who are non-binary do not identify with traditional male or female gender assignments. There are two genders.
Yes. Amen.
A small number are born with physical abnormalities. I spelled it better than I pronounced it. But all, if you do the examination, you will find they either have an XX or XY, making them female if they're XX, male if they're XY chromosomes. Those who are born with those physical abnormalities almost always have one functioning reproductive organ, and it's either the male or the female. And so most of these abnormalities, they do a surgery, and the sex or gender is established physically and visibly as well as it is by looking at the chromosomes. There is a tiny, tiny number of people who are born without functioning reproductive organs. In some cases, neither are present in a very clear way. And our hearts should go out to them. And we should be very sympathetic, but we also need to understand that they're being used as a political football by the woke crowd, whenever in reality they are a tiny, tiny number of people. And so while we aren't going to allow them to use that, that's a result of sin. Sin came in the world, and death by sin. All disease, all sickness, all death is because of sin. If someone dies of a disease, it doesn't mean they sinned and got that disease because of their sin necessarily. Some cases they do. But all of us are going to die, and why? Because sin is in the world. And so you take a baby, it's born with a deformity. Why is that baby deformed? Well, sometimes mom might have done some kind of drugs or something. Sometimes incest will produce that kind of thing. There's other reasons. Sometimes two people get together and their genes just mix and make a combination that causes abnormalities and that sort of thing. Why? Because of sin.
Yeah.
And so we aren't going to then turn over the whole world and pretend that this isn't the fact. But we have to face something. And this sounds like I'm just being critical or trying to insult somebody. I'm not. It is a fact that liberals hate the truth. They hate science and they love lies. And so we have to confront them with that. You say, how? Well, here's one. Just an example. Liberals have lied for 50 years claiming that this is just a blob of tissue. Folks, that is not a blob of tissue. That's a baby. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care if it's your mother. Well, happy Mother's Day. If your mother says that's not a baby, your mother's a liar. I don't care who it is. I don't care about your feelings and your opinion when it comes to fact, when it comes to science, when it comes to killing a baby. And Americans since 1973 should have been much more loud about that. And only in recent years has there really been any hope of seeing Roe v. Wade overturned. And they're going to try to use that to get out the vote and keep liberals elected and keep liberals on the courts. And I'm telling you this again, what I'm about to say is not political. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you don't even vote. You need to understand this. If you have liberals, and that includes some progressives in the Republican Party, and if they are elected in the Senate, then they will pack the federal courts with judges who are liberal. And what a liberal means, or a progressive, what that means is they do not believe the Constitution. They believe it is a living, breathing document. And that means they can make it say whatever they want. It will be the end of our constitutional republic. If that's what you want, then vote for them. That right there is a beating heart.
Amen.
That is a living child. And that's only about 20 weeks in. And again, anybody says, well, I don't believe that's a baby. Well, are you willing to look at the facts? Are you willing to look at the science? Most of these people aren't. As a matter of fact, they don't care because they know they're killing a baby. Like Whoopi Goldberg on The View this week. Did you see that? She wanted to, I don't watch The View. I mean, it's out on a clip out there and everybody's passing around and it's on Twitters and Facebook, and which I'm not on those either, but I saw it on MeWe and Telegram and some of those. And if you watch, she doesn't want to discuss the facts. As she's talking, she's becoming emotional. She's flailing about. She's saying this and saying that and don't want you to talk about that. If what they're saying is true, Whoopi could put that on the screen while she's talking and explain to you why that's not killing a human baby. And that's what anybody goes on The View, talks to any of them, or goes on the ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, goes on particular shows on Fox, NBC, whatever. Go to these new shows and only agree to go on if while you're talking about the baby, you get to show the baby. They won't do it. They don't want you to think about the reality. It can be aborted in most states now up to 24 weeks. That's what they're killing. Look at it. That is what they're killing. What amazes me is that God has not poured out His judgment on this country already. God's grace and mercy and patience and long-suffering ought to put us on our knees. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We deserve to be destroyed from sea to shining sea. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. God is asking those supporting the murder of those little babies and those who are supporting this idea there's more than two genders and all this other stuff they're supporting. He's asking this question. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings? And fools hate knowledge? Yep. How long? You're talking, if we put these, that's why we make sure that camera's working and everything. We put it on the radio. We'll put this on the internet. If you listen to this today and you support the killing of unborn children, I got a question for you, fool. How long are you going to hate knowledge? Yep. Pushing this sodomite agenda? Fool, how long are you going to hate knowledge? I'll tell you how long. Till you stand before God on Judgment Day. Yep. That'll be the end of that. And number two, anything but to acknowledge God. Yep. Anything. This is being taught in an Ivy League school, and it's being taught on numerous Ivy League schools. Ivy League used to be the cream of the crop in this country. Now it's the dumbest of the dumb. You want to waste your money and destroy your child, send them to an Ivy League school. If they get out of there with any sense at all, it'd be a miracle. Aliens created our universe in a lab. Scientists should be in quotes. Could our universe have been created in a petri dish? Avi Leib seems to think so. The Harvard astronomer posits that a higher class of civilization may have conjured up our universe in a laboratory far, far away. Hey, man. Neil deGrasse Tyson, I heard him espouse that possibility.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. But they're not willing to give God the credit. They want to credit aliens with the intelligent design.
Yeah.
But as I said, I've heard Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's considered the spokesperson for evolutionary cosmology these days. He's espoused that same thing. People, it's insanity.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, just if you're going to talk to somebody about this, grant the possibility for conversation's sake. Someone still had to create the aliens.
Yep.
Where'd the aliens come from?
Yep.
Well, they were probably created by somebody. Well, where'd they come from? You just keep asking that question because there's got to be at some point a being. We've talked about this in our Proverbs studies. If you're not listening to those, you're missing out on a daily 5-minute Proverbs study every morning, Monday through Friday. And on Fridays, we've been talking about evidence for God. And we were talking about this just last week. That there has to be a being behind all this. Cosmological argument, the column, cosmological argument, and also the teleological argument. There's obvious design, as you said. There's purpose to this planet. If there's design and purpose, then logically there has to be someone behind that. It's just pure insanity to reject the existence of God to begin with. And then of all the gods on the table, a lot of people don't know this, but most religions don't believe in a god. I mean, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, animism, they don't believe in a god. And so you're really down to kind of Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and their various sects and cults. Well, I dare you to give this book a chance without running to all your unbelieving ignoramus and agnostics, whatever you want to call them, that deny God, and sit down with a believer who knows the book and let them tell you why. Because I got to say, because I tested this book and I tested the other books, and I could tell those other books are basically poetic nonsense. Amen. This is a historic book. This has prophecies into the thousands. The idea that any man could come up with this book is astronomically not even possible when it comes to the chances and the odds.
Amen.
There's no other book on the planet like this Bible. There's none other than Jesus Christ who could be the Messiah described in this Bible. It's either Jesus or Fry.
Amen.
And Jesus, according to the Bible, is the Creator.
Amen, sir.
A lot of people don't read that in their Bible, John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
Amen.
Read the same thing over Hebrews 1, Colossians 1. You run back to Genesis 1 when it says, in the beginning God created. It's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
God says of this generation, the majority, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Yep, amen.
Yep. That's where we're at. All right, that's your current events update. Be wise. Be informed. Serve the Lord. Don't get caught up in this world. Johnny?
If I see, though, the fact that that's becoming popular now,
it
further backs up the Bible, because, you know, for a while they wanted to believe, they wanted to claim that they were believing in science and evolution.
Yeah.
But we know what's really going on is you've got Satan in the background, and he doesn't want there to be no God. He wants himself to be God.
Yeah.
And so that'll line up perfectly with the claiming aliens and fallible beings.
You'll find all kinds of these atheists, agnostics, and skeptics, and they'll admit that the reason why they don't want to believe in God, especially the God of the Bible, is because they love their sin.
Yep.
They come right out and admit it. You read some of the 19th century agnostics and atheists, they come right in their writings and admit it. Doug?
You either have two ways. You either have by works or by grace. There really isn't any other way. I mean, that's all the other gods, it's works. It's
yeah, you're right. Yeah, every other religion, there's something you got to do to hope. You don't even have any assurance. You just hope.
The other one is the grace of God.
Amen.
Put me down on the cross.
All right, let's get into our Mother's Day message. Luke chapter 17, verses 31-33.
What time?
Remember Lot's wife.
Timing's hilarious.
Let's start with an opening word of prayer and ask Brother Charlie if you would.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and thank you for safe travel that we all got here without any incident. We thank you for, more than anything, we thank you for paying the price for our sins and being merciful to us and just forgiving us before we were even born, and you knew what we would do. You knew the awful price for sin, and you still went to the cross and paid that awful price and shed your blood so that we might be saved. We thank you for that. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive a blessing from the Word of God today. Pray that you would strengthen Greg as he brings forth the truth of your Word. And pray that you would be with each mother here and all the mothers in our families. Pray that you would bless them, and pray that you would help us to cherish them. And for anyone who has unsaved mothers, I pray that you would give us strength to be able to share the gospel, that you would soften hearts so they might be able to receive it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all you've done. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, we have a few visitors. Just want you to know, I didn't pick this title of this study. We go verse by verse through the book of Luke. And I have to assume that everybody here is here because God has a reason for you to hear this message. But one year, Mother's Day, this is going way back, I was in my late 20s, and Mother's Day came along, and we were doing a study on heaven and hell, and it just happened to be that week we were preaching on hell.
Wow.
And so we had one of these visitors come in, you know, and he was with his mom. I think he was out of town. He always flew in out of town. I guess it's kind of like Paul here comes in. He didn't fly in, but his arms aren't tight. But you know, he'd come in to see, be with mom and everything. And after it was over with, he come up to me, just big-eyed, and shook my hand. He said, "I just want to thank you." He said, "For 25 years, I've heard the same sermon over and over and over and over. Every time I come to visit mom." He said, "And I couldn't believe you were preaching on hell of all things." He was just tickled. So I hope that's how you feel this morning. Jesus has just prophesied in our verse-by-verse study we saw last week. He had just prophesied that the days preceding his return would be as it was in the days of Lot. And that's where we're picking up. So let's read. I'll have you read the odd verses. So you jump right in there with verse 31 through 33. Just read them all with me. "In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Amen?
Amen.
So before Jesus returns, all the Jews will abandon Israel and run for the hills in the wilderness of Petra. And that's what Jesus is describing here in verse 31. And he says, in that day, he's talking about that day when he returns. Now, the return of Jesus is not the rapture. They're two different events. We've got a study out there we talked a number of years ago. We'll probably go over it again sometime. But it shows the differences. And when Jesus raptures the church, he does not come to the earth. When Jesus returns, there will be a post-trib rapture, but they don't leave out of here. The Jews are all taken to Israel, and then there's a judgment, and Jesus does land on the earth. That's just two of the differences. Now, the old saying is what? Things that are different are not the same. So keep that in mind. But we're going to come back to that. This is a specific warning to Jews living at the time of the return of Christ, and we'll come back to that next week in our next study, if the rapture hasn't happened before then.
Amen.
But Jesus' words also have been a warning to all believers throughout the entire church dispensation. He's speaking in that verse specifically of the Jews at the end time. But then he says this in verse 32, "Remember Lot's wife." And that has made a lot of believers, including me, pause. As the reading through this, he stopped. He just, now, granted, the chapters and the verses have been, you know, delineated about 12th century A.D. And so if you read a Greek text, the correct text is the received text. And if you read that, then there's no numbers or anything separating this out. But even, I've been told by Greek experts, the only Greek expert I know has a gyro, is that how I pronounce it correctly? Gyro restaurant down in West Jeff. But if you read these guys, they'll tell you that this stands out in the text even as you're reading it. That he's talking about this end time stuff, and all of a sudden he just stops and says, "Remember Lot's wife." And then he'll say more, and we'll see that in just a second. But remember, in the context, he says this, as he has just told us in previous verses, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, what happened to Lot's wife? Some of you know the story. At this point, our mothers may think this message is directed at them. I want to remind them it's not. But I will say, if the shoe fits, it is. But it's not just about a mother gone bad. I think I'm not going to have any problem with anybody saying this, but I think Lot's wife turned out to be a pretty bad wife.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty bad mother.
Amen.
Yep.
You don't want to be that way, Mom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But Scripture was Scripture. Let's go back and look at this. When Jesus says to remember something, you know what you ought to do?
Remember it.
Remember it. How do you do that? Go look it up and read it. Especially if he's talking about something in the Bible. Genesis 19, beginning with verse 15. I'm going to start reading as you turn there. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Of course, the context is God's about to destroy Sodom. He's going to destroy five cities in total originally, and he leaves Zoar because Lot and his family end up there. But verse 16 says, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife." So look at that. Don't give Lot a free pass here. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just don't think I'd still be around at this point. They've already been telling them what's going to happen. They've already seen these angels in action. The men had gathered the house with old and young and tried to get their hands on these angels. And they blinded them. And these guys are walking around blind in the street. Okay, that's a pretty good sign that whatever these guys say they're going to do, they're going to do. And they're telling them the whole city's about to be destroyed. And they're still lingering. And they had to lay hold upon his hand, grab his wife's hand to pull on them, to get them to leave. And upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." I don't believe that. I believe Lot could have made it to the mountain.
Amen.
But you know, we're going to see God accommodates it. There's a lot of people who are like that in their Christian walk. They're always making excuses. "I can't do this." And God will, in spite of that, God will still answer their prayers. God will still bless them in many ways, even though they're shortchanging him all the time. And so verse 20 says, "Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken." Now look, it says in verse 22, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And so we'll see that Zoar is spared. And Bible humor, Jenny's always, every time there's something, "Is it not a little one?" But you can steal that news. But beginning verse 23 says, "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar." Now read 24 through 26 with me. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Now, it doesn't say that she turned around, looked back, and became a pillar of salt without anything else happening. But it could have happened that way. Some have claimed that with the way that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, that it could have been God had caused some of the effects of that to then land on her and cause that to happen to her. And it's a strange thing, if you ever seen the videos, and I recommended a couple, I think, last week. You'll see pillars every once in a while. And there's one in particular that has been known for centuries as Lot's wife. Because it looks like a woman. It's just a silhouette, you know, from a distance. But it makes sense that they would name that, but we don't know for sure that's her. But it's a very interesting thing. But if you go back and read Josephus says that that's always been known as Lot's wife. Big pillar out there. Could be. But the point was, what did she do wrong? She's looking back. She was told, don't look behind you.
Yes, they said don't do it.
Yep.
Of course, what's that represent? I will tell you this. I've known too many Christians who were told, as we learned in our Sunday school this morning, you're supposed to come out of the world.
Amen.
The Bible says, look not at those things behind, press forward to the mark of the high calling, the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And too many Christians, somewhere along the way, turn around and look back on the world.
Yep.
And they get sucked right in. And they make shipwreck. So, you saying Lot's wife was saved? Well, we've talked about Old Testament salvation. And I don't believe so. But, could be. You say, how? Well, Lot is a righteous man. And he wasn't, you know, father of the year. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something very controversial, but I want you to understand this. I'm not promoting suicide when I say this. But I believe there have been good Christian people in a moment do something crazy.
Yeah. Amen.
Take a gun or swallow a bottle of pills and no one finds it in time and all that. We have a study on suicide. If you ever think about suicide, you need to watch that study before you do it.
Amen.
Because in that study, we talk about how that, you know, some people will go around trying to scare you, and they mean well. But they'll say, if you commit suicide, then you're not a Christian. The Bible never says such a thing.
Amen.
And Christians can do crazy things, stupid things. There's a lot of Christians who committed murder and went to prison. You know that?
Yep.
They were Christians. But they'll pay the consequences. And then they'll lose reward as well.
Yep.
Yes.
They, the second time it happened when I tried suicide, and my friend caught me. I did it at work. Dumb. I got a hold of somebody else's pills. And I was slipping into a coma. And she called the squad and everything, got me taken to the hospital. She stayed with me. You know what she told me? She said, Janie, you know, if you do this and you die, you know you're not going to heaven. And, you know, you're not a true Christian if you do this.
Yeah. But we aren't going to get into, I didn't want to get into suicide this morning. Happy Mother's Day. But I do want you to understand, salvation is about Jesus Christ dying for your sins. And yes, you should repent and turn to God, and we do that, but Christians can turn back just like Lot's wife.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Lot's wife was in love with Sodom, though.
Yep.
And that's a bad thing. I mean, you're a Christian, and you're in love with this world, that's a contradiction. You're supposed to be a follower of Christ. Now, but then I've known some people, and I'll tell you that I went through a period of time where I wasn't really in love with the world, but I did kind of turn away from the service of the Lord like I ought to, and I was very discouraged, had that downtime. I've been saved for about 32 years now, and there was a period of time for about 2.5 years. I was kind of hamstrung by my situation, couldn't serve in ministry, other than, you know, I could do things, but really, had one person in particular that I thought loved me, treated me terrible, betrayed me in a terrible way. But you know, the Lord was gracious and merciful. But what if he'd come back then? What if Harold Camping had been right, and we, you know, back in the 90s when he said that Jesus was going to come back? That was about the time this was going on. I wouldn't have been in a good situation. I wouldn't have been in a good place when the Lord come back. But he's tarried, and so now, you know, I'm serving the Lord. I feel pretty good. I'm not perfect. I'm still a sinner saved by grace, but at least I'm trying.
Amen.
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 But there's going to be some Christians who their downtime just happens to be now instead of back then. Well, if the Lord comes now, they're going to be caught at a bad time. What's our goal? Is to not allow Satan to drag us down to that point and not to be like Lot's wife. I won't be disappointed if I go to heaven and Lot is up there and he said, "Bet you didn't think you'd see her here." I won't be upset. Amen?
Amen.
But she was in love with the world and not in love with the Lord at this time when this happened. That much is clear. So which way do you face? This is a question for you. Not for your neighbor, not for me, not for... I mean, I have to ask myself this question. You ask yourself, which way do you face? Are you facing Sodom and destruction, or facing Jesus and salvation?
Amen.
That's the question for everyone this morning. Are you facing Sodom and destruction? And yes, for a saved person can turn back toward the world, and they'll be destroyed in this life. You can lose your health because of it. You can lose your reputation because of it. You definitely lose your joy because of it. But only you and Jesus know if you're saved.
Amen.
Janice and I had this discussion a couple times recently about someone else, and said, "Who are they saved?" See, only they and Jesus know. Only you and Jesus know. You need to understand, if you're facing this world and you're in love with this world, the question is that because I'm saved but I'm tripping, I'm having a bad turn here, or is it because I need saved? Because if you're a Christian and you're facing the world and in love with the world, you're not acting like a Christian.
Yeah, amen.
And that's how we have to leave it. This is between you and the Lord. But the word of the Lord says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why Lot's wife turned back. She loved the world. Jesus explains back in our text in Luke 17:33, after he says, remember Lot's wife. He says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, I'm guessing, but I believe that Lot's wife, when she turned back towards Sodom, it was because that's her life. It's what she'd known. It's where home is. Everything she, not just her belongings, whatever friendships she had, memories. And so she turned back, I think, trying to, you know, just knowing she can't probably, but people get desperate and they'll turn and thinking, oh, my whole life has gone up in flames. Seeking to save her life, she lost it.
Do you think she had other kids that might have been back
there? I've heard speculation on that, but I don't, yeah, they never mention them, so that's why I don't think so.
What was it? There was at least two sons, right? That
sons-in-law.
Sons-in-law,
and the ones that they took were not married.
Yeah, that gets into the whole betrothal thing and all that.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But again, verse 33, Lot's wife looked back longing for the life she loved, which was a thing God hated. I don't have to guess about that. When God destroys something completely, it means he hates it. When this world and your own fleshly desires rule your heart, you'll lose it all. I always say this. Divorce. You'll hear people all the time say, it takes two to tango. There are a lot of people divorced because one party went worldly. And that's enough to destroy marriage.
Amen.
There are homes that everything's fine, but then one of the kids, I was that kid. My mom would testify. She's nice about it. She don't talk a lot about it. But our home, three kids, mom and dad, they've been married for, my dad told a joke when his mom and dad were celebrating their, I think it was their 50th anniversary. And he got up and said, you know, it's an honor to speak at my mom and dad's 50th anniversary right after my 52nd birthday. Or 51st, whatever. He's joking. It's still funny. But my mom and dad have been married, I'm trying to think how many years now. Mom's going to say, how could you not remember that? But I'm going to be 53. My sister's, I better not say. She's older. So they're pushing towards 60 years at some point, you know, very soon. I can't remember the exact number. So, you know, I didn't come from a broken home. I didn't have an excuse. My parents neglected me. I didn't have any excuses. But I was that kid. I fell in love with this world, and I caused a lot of problems. You see, my mom and dad have gray hair, and I put a lot of those there. That's all I'm saying. And it ruined my life, and I'd probably be dead now if I had not repented and been saved.
Amen.
James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Why does he talk like that? That's me. That's me. Because you're supposed to be a spouse to the Lord. If you're in love with the world, then you're a cheater.
Yeah.
Spiritual adultery. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How many came here today hoping that you'd find out the key to be the enemy of God? There you go. You want to be an enemy of God, then be a friend of the world. It's that easy. Just simple. It made Lot's wife a bad example as a mother, which seems to have rubbed off on her daughters. I just want to take a minute to look at this again in Genesis 19. You know, there's just something lacking here in these girls when we read this. Genesis 19, beginning verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. He wanted to go to Zoar, and then that place is so wicked, he ended up going to the mountain anyway.
Yeah.
His two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And here we go. The firstborn, verse 31, said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Now, I've got to say this. But, man, when I was a teenager, I was so clueless about the world. And these girls were just so probably into themselves and how they look and their friends and their boyfriends and, yeah, and all that kind of thing. And they didn't even know there was a world outside of where they lived. And then they saw the destruction. They thought, God must be destroying the whole world. There's not even a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, verse 32, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, and that we may preserve seed of our father. And verse 33 begins to describe it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's an ugly scene.
Amen.
An ugly account, incest, and the offspring become enemies of Israel for a couple thousand years, and really some of their offspring are still to this day.
Yeah.
Enemies of Israel.
Yep.
Bad stuff, bad repercussions.
Amen.
But Jesus told us to remember all this. You're, as a parent, you can be a great parent. You can be God-fearing, Bible-believing, my parents were. And your kids can still turn on you.
Yeah.
I mean, Eve had the perfect father, amen?
Amen.
And what'd she do? But the thing is, as a parent, make sure it's not your fault. Make sure you're not the influence that causes them to go down that path. I don't want to get too personal here, but I'm just telling you that I've known some good parents who loved their kids, sacrificed for them, raised them in the Word, took them to church, etc., etc. But those kids, they still have a free will.
Yep.
So the question is, are you infected with the same love for a wicked fallen world like Lot's wife was? How do you feel about this world? I know some professing Christians. They know everything to know about Hollywood and all their favorite entertainers, but they don't know hardly anything about God's Word. How does that work? Are they saved? Don't ask me. Above my pay grade, but I would tell them there's something wrong with their profession. Profess to be a believer in Christ, and all you worry about are all these wicked people. I'm sorry, most all of you don't think they're wicked? Go watch some of that Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial. I haven't even watched it. I've just been seeing the talk about it. It's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, really.
They're typical in Hollywood. Being like Lot's wife will make you a bad what? It'll make you a bad mother. It'll make you a bad father. It'll make you a bad son. It'll make you a bad daughter. It'll make you a bad sibling. It'll make you a bad friend. It'll make you a bad neighbor. It'll make you a bad coworker. It'll make you a bad leader. It'll make you a bad anything. Just wanted to cover all the bases there. There's an easy fix. It really is. The love of God.
Amen.
Easy fix. Man, when I got saved, I immediately became too radical for most Christians. How did that happen to you? I mean,
Amen.
I got saved, and because I realized this world is just a big waste.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not boasting, but when I got saved, I was one of the most popular kids in my school, and I had plenty of friends, and I was always being invited to all the parties and everything. Well, I kept going for a little while. I didn't have enough sense to realize I probably shouldn't even bother, but I'd go to these parties, you know, and they wanted me to, you know, the ball, you know, and all that kind of thing. I said, nah, I'm all right. And then, you know, the left-handed cigarette get passed around, you know, I'm okay. And the girls, you know, and all that. I'm all right. I'm good. Suddenly, I wasn't any fun anymore. And dropping like flies. I wouldn't even find out about the parties going on. That never happened before. They weren't even telling me about the parties at some point. And one time I was at a party, and a bunch of guys were really getting on to me. Well, you got all religious now, man. You ain't even fun anymore. You know what I mean? And then one guy who wasn't a Christian, I don't even know why, but he spoke up and said, yeah, leave him alone, man. You know, you and I both know what he's doing is what all of us ought to do.
Smart man.
Yeah. The love of God replaces our love of this world. I believe if you're really saved, then you don't have to be told that. I think when you get saved, you realize Jesus has saved you out of a wicked world. He's not only saved you from hell, but he saved you out of this wicked world. And you realize, you know, just God doesn't want anything to do with that. And there's something in you called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he will not want anything to do with that world. Our final text, I want to run over to Romans 5. And Lord put me under conviction because I'd see a slide. I'd say, this is our last text. And it turned out it wasn't. So I put a little note to myself so I could say it. Not have to confess my sin and be forgiven later. Romans 5, 1 through 5. This is it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Read verse 5 with me. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's something I can't really describe to you. It's something you'll have to experience, but I will try. You get saved. The Holy Spirit comes into you. Suddenly you love the Lord. Suddenly you love Jesus Christ. Suddenly, I didn't give a flip if anybody thought I was a religious nut. I went around telling them, it's not religion. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. I love what he did for me. I'm not religious. I'm not doing a bunch of religious works and acts and all that kind of thing. Yeah, I think you should go to church. Yeah, I think you should pray. Yeah, you should read your Bible. Yeah, you should support the church. Yeah, you should tell people about Jesus. You should do all those things out of love.
Amen.
I don't need a list. I don't have a list checking off every day, making sure I do all the religious stuff. I have a love relationship with the Lord, and so I serve Him out of love, and I do those things. And I have such a hope that I never had before. I have such peace that I never had before. It's just there. It's a supernatural thing. But there are two faces of God. Again, the face of wrath and damnation.
Yeah, amen.
Or the face of grace and love. That's the choice you're going to make. Everybody in this world has to make that choice. You reach, we talked about it before, the state of mind where you understand. Children grow up and reach that point at different ages. But the only person you can handle is you. The person you're responsible for is you. What about you? Which way are you facing? Turn to Him for grace today. He made it so simple. Just a couple of Bible verses explains it. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going this way, that's the world, God's that way. What do? Turn, repent toward God. But not just some generic God, not that spaghetti monster in the sky you hear about or anything like that. You turn to the God of the Bible who became a man in Jesus Christ, perfect, sinless, died on the cross, shedding His blood to pay for your sins.
Amen.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. How simple is this? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When He died on that cross, He said, "It is finished." He's paid the price. They put His dead body in a tomb. And after 3 days, He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And He had told them before, when you see Me do this to My body, they'll tear down this temple. I will raise it again. I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When you know that Jesus is risen, then you know that by faith in His death, burial, and resurrection, you are saved, and one day He will raise you from the grave.
Amen.
Amen.
That's Christianity. Not about religion. It's about a man. The man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And we're going to sing a song called A Christian Home, because the problem with Lot's wife had a lot to do with the home. The choice of where to live, and evidently the choice of how they lived inside their home. And the Bible itself tells us that the Word of God is something we are to read daily, and we should talk about it with our children.
Amen.
In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Watch a movie with the kids, and anytime something comes up that touches on the Word, talk about it.
Amen.
Take a trip with the kids, and you see something out there, go to the Grand Canyon. Tell them how crazy it is that they try to claim that this is all,
amen,
you know, big, didn't have anything to do with Genesis flood and all that kind of thing. Educate your kids,
yep,
with the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So let's sing. Page 525 in your hymn book. A Christian Home. Stand if you can. Everybody a second to stand. Sing all four verses.
Where every child
Mother's Day, again, happy Mother's Day to my mom, my Grandma Miller, if she's watching, and all the other mothers out there. Let's say goodbye. Let's just say happy Mother's Day on three. One, two, three.
Happy Mother's Day.
All right.
Bye, guys.